Welcome to the Joy of Leadership podcast. I'm your host, Dr. James Taylor. On this podcast, we explore the passion and purpose of leadership. Join us to explore lessons in leadership that demonstrate how you can live in the center of God's will. Okay, hey, it is my privilege to have one of my favorite guys here on our HCA campus, Tim Walker, who's also the head of our security staff on campus. Tim, it's great to have you on the show, man.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a joy to be here.
Good. Hey, so you have pretty diverse skill sets and job requirements. You are with us full time, but you're also a county commissioner.
Yes.
Let's kind of start there, and then we'll press rewind.
Okay.
How did that come up? How did that? It's so different.
I got involved in politics when I retired from Gwinnett County PD in 2016.
Okay.
I ran for sheriff in Barrow County, lost, but it led me to where I'm at today. I learned a lot, been on several different campaigns since then, and I learned how to campaign,
okay,
which led me to where I'm at in my county commission spot.
Tell me about, like, why do you even do, like, what's the motivation for it? What even, you know, you ran for the sheriff. That's in your field of security and police work. Switching over to county commissioner it seems like a left turn, you know, or a right turn, depending on where we stand politically. But it seems like a different. How does that even take place? Like, what motivates you to do that?
I think being in law enforcement, you're always caring for someone else.
Okay.
You're caring for the public. When I was an officer, I'm there front and center.
Okay.
You deal with the day-to-day. You see the things that go on. And on the other side, I get to support those day-to-day operations with budget, funding. I was an accounting employee for all my life, and I know how employees should be treated. So therefore, I can pass my experience on to the county employees and the citizens of Barrow County.
And so I love that. So it's kind of the heart of giving translates. I mean, it just translates into this role as well so that you can actually help. And you know what it is to be an employee of the county, so you know how to treat other people. I love that idea. What were the details for you to even get into that? You had to run for it. Now, you ran unopposed when you first did it.
When I first ran, I had a Republican opponent.
Okay.
In the primary. I won that primary, and then I didn't have a Democratic challenger or an independent challenger after for the general election.
Okay. Now, there's a lot of shaking hands and kissing babies, I guess.
Yeah, things that I do here.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I can take what I do here to the public, yeah, and what you see here is who I am.
Right.
And when I'm there, that's who I am. So I never change.
Yeah. For those of you who are on the HCA campus, you know Tim is the very first smiling face with a very loud and boisterous voice greeting every single kid. I'll be doing crosswalk duty down the hill, and he'll still scream, you know, good morning. And it makes me jump every so often, you know. But so for those of you who are here, for those of you who aren't on our campus, man, he's just a guy who's really and truly just investing in the lives of the kids. And every kid knows and loves you here. It's kind of wild for me to see when we first brought you on full time 4 years ago.
Yes.
We first brought you on four years ago. We hadn't really met. We had chatted a couple of times, but we weren't friends yet. And I remember thinking, I wonder how the kids are going to feel with somebody who's got a weapons holster on, is got carrying a gun. I thought, you know, I wonder if the kids will be scared. And then I watched you work with the kids and just realized it's just the opposite. Like, every kid comes up and hugs you, and you greet every kid with such a warm. It was cool to see you kind of breaking the ideas, breaking the mold on that, you know?
You know, the kids here, believe it or not, some of them have never seen the gun on my side until this year. And they go, you got a gun? And I go, yes. And they ask me questions, what did you carry it for? And I explain it to them, and they kind of nod and go on.
Yeah.
But they never pay attention to it.
It's just wild that they just see you, you know? All right, let's go back to the commissioner thing. Tell me the steps that go into that idea. Like, do you have to file paperwork? Do you have to go in? Tell me all the guts on that.
So once you decide to become a candidate, you have to do several forms, and one of them is the campaign contribution forms. You have to fill out. You have to find out qualifying paperwork. You must be in the county that you're running for office in at least a year prior, and I was there for several years before I ran for this position. Then courting on how much money you plan on raising is courting on, you have to find a campaign disclosure, finance disclosure. So you do those things, and once you do that, you take your skills you have learned through working with other political campaigns and put them to work. You go out and you knock on doors. You talk to people before the early voting, and you continue that up until the week of voting.
And then, so you've been through this. We'll come up on another election. What does this next election look like for you?
The next election, I may have another challenger. Okay. But I hope they know how to campaign well, because I know how to campaign well now. People will get discouraged if you always do what's right.
Right.
And I've seen that in the last 3.5 years. When you do things right, people don't agree with it sometimes.
Yeah, and so. you've made a lifestyle, you've made a career, and you've established a reputation of, as a guy who does what's right. That's just the way it is.
That's correct.
Yeah. All right, so you mentioned a number of other candidacies that you've been a part of, political candidacies. Tell us a little bit about those.
The first one I worked on as security and kind of drove the campaign bus. It was Casey Cagle, who ran for governor back, I think, the 2018 cycle.
Yeah.
Then once Casey was removed from that election by the voters, I switched over to then Lieutenant Governor Jeff Duncan's campaign. And when you work with these campaigns, people will gravitate towards you and come back and hire you for other campaigns. Worked on Senator Renee Underman's campaign, and from there, I rolled into Doug Collins' campaign, and from that campaign, I rolled into the Herschel Walker campaign after I finished campaigning for the current seat that I have.
Okay, yeah, you're just known as a guy who's got a level head. You're not gonna get too excited. You're never really too up or too down. And that's probably a rarity on the campaign trail, I would imagine.
That's correct. You see a lot of things. You stay uninvolved, and you have a job. You stay in your lane. You do your job. And
right. But you become friends with all those guys, though, too.
Yes, I do still talk to every one of them.
Right. I mean, I know you're on speed dial with a bunch of them. Herschel had a pretty big campaign that he was running. That must have been a pretty interesting thing to be a part of.
It was. It was like... everywhere we went, there was hundreds of people wanting his autograph because he was a UGA guy, probably one of the best football players in UGA history. So there was a lot of ups and some downs because he didn't win, but a lot of road time, a lot of time away from home. And even here, I took about a month and a half away from here so that we could work on the campaign.
Right. Yeah, I've had a chance to meet most of those guys in the past. And Herschel, as you know, his sister – and brother-in-law, they had a son at my last school, so their nephew was just one of my favorite kids of all time, and sister is just a great lady. We played football in his hometown, and so, you know, Herschel's been a guy that has had a lot of contacts with us for the last two decades. It's been pretty cool.
You know? It's kind of amazing that in our circle, we come across so many of the same people, and you never know in this life what you do. So I always believe in treating people right, because you never know where you're going to end up.
What are some of the initiatives that you guys are working on with you being a county commissioner? What are some of the things you're doing in your town?
Well, I ran my campaign on transparency, infrastructure, and public safety. We have passed a T-SPLOS in Barrow County, which means sales tax dollars will go in to allow us to put in sewer lines, pave roads, and things of that nature. Also, with our public safety people, we've making sure they get all the equipment they need, the manpower they need, and transparency, just being open. If somebody calls and asks a question, I answer it truthfully and go from there.
How do you guys manage the massive growth in this area? Like, is that a component of your care? Is that a component of your decisions? I mean, it just feels like in every farmer's field is now becoming a new neighborhood. It's just that this area is just exploding. How do you guys manage that?
Well, we hire excellent staff. We got very, very professional staff. we leave those day-to-day chores to them. They bring them to us, and we go through them and approve them. Georgia is a property owner's right state, so if there's something similar to the property that is already built, we have to allow that. There's something called Department of Community Affairs, DCA. The county makes their future land use map through DCA, which protects the county and the public from certain things being put in certain places. And, like, you don't want to have industry in a neighborhood.
Right.
So that's what the future land use map protects. And you grow from there. You grow from there with your infrastructure, your ability to provide public safety, and things of that nature.
In your district, I think there's a lot of the transportation hubs where they're like the big Amazon and all of those things all on that stretch in the Braselton. Is that in your section?
That is right outside Barrow County, but for most of everybody to get there, they have to come through Barrow for a short period of time. But with the state highways improvement going on in this area, we have a lot of the outside traffic traveling through Barrow County to get to the Amazon warehouse.
Does that market seem like it's expanding? Like along that road, it's like every company from, I think it starts with Mizuno and ends with Amazon. But it feels like everybody's got a transportation hub there for their 18-wheelers coming in and out. I know a number of them seems like they are partially empty or they haven't been rented out. Is that staying as a hot button, a topic?
Yes. Fortunately, we work great with the city of Braselton, and that's all in the city, just right outside the county. But they're growing. There's still some more warehouses being built in that area. I'm sure sometime sooner or later that will be built out, and all those buildings will be full. Companies that move in like to see big warehouse space because mm-hmm. they're ready to go.
That's right.
I can take my company, move it from one state to another state,
right,
and have the square footage to put my company in. Yeah.
And you're right off the highway, so it's just very, very convenient.
Exactly.
Yeah. Are there big initiatives coming up for this kind of next term?
On the 316 corridor, there's a Kroger coming to Barrow County, the first one. It's a Kroger marketplace.
It's huge.
Yes. Northeast Georgia is going to build a new hospital in that corridor. And there's several other big box stores that may be coming that we can't speak of right now, but mm-hmm. it's growing, and it's going to be a very good area.
That Kroger that's coming through, it is massive. I mean, it's got a wine bar and everything in it. It's got a mechanic shop. I mean, I'm shocked at how big that thing is.
Yeah, it's open December of this year.
Yeah, pretty impressive. All right, let's press rewind. So let's take us back to young Tim Walker. Where are you from? What did early life look like for you?
Believe it or not, I grew up right here in Acula, Georgia, less than 4 miles from this campus. Really?
That's very rare. That's very rare. Okay.
This used to be all dirt roads and cow fields. So
wow.
I've been here. We moved here when I was a kid in 1971
okay.
or 72.
Where were you moving from?
We live downtown, and we live right outside of the Acula in Auburn, Georgia.
Okay.
Right inside Barrow County.
Okay. So born and raised here?
Born and raised here all my life.
Wow, that is wild.
Moved here, went to Acula Elementary, Acula Middle, Acula High, attended Gainesville Junior College, spent some time there, and then I decided I was going to go to the Marine Corps. So I went to the United States Marine Corps, spent 6 years in the Marine Corps Reserve, and was honorably discharged.
That's awesome. When did you decide to get into police work?
I decided to go in police work probably when I was in high school. I was just waiting for the right opportunity.
Okay.
As soon as I turned 21, Chief Miller, who was the chief of Shamley Police Department, who was also a resident here of Acula, and I went to school with his kid. I asked him several times when I would see him at ball games about being a police officer. September before I turned 21, I spoke to him in January. He handed me an application, and he said, think about this because your life is going to change. He's be wise who your friends are.
Right.
And I did. It's something I desired. 7 days after I turned 21 in 1989, he hired, swore me as a police officer and put me in the radio room.
That's awesome. And how many years did you spend there?
I spent approximately 2 years at the city of Chamblee, and then I applied at Gwinnett County PD. And from 1987, I went to Chamblee PD, stayed there through middle of 89, came to Gwinnett in August 89, and retired from Gwinnett County PD in 2016.
How many years did you put in?
26 and a half years physically there. My bridge time gave me 27 years and 1 month.
Okay, cool. At what point in there did you meet your bride?
I met her around 1990.
Okay.
When I was working narcotics, I worked in Gwinnett County, had his first Gwinnett County Drug Task Force back during the crack cocaine epidemic.
Which you were pretty key in setting up, right?
Yeah, we were pretty key. And so that was the first unit we had. And it was made up of several different agencies here in Gwinnett. And it blossomed from there. And just had a good time.
I wonder what the population of Gwinnett County was back then. I should have looked it up before I jumped on the air. Got any idea?
Gosh, you know, it was probably less than 300 to 400,000.
I was going to say the exact number. I would bet you it's somewhere around three. This last year was a big deal because Gwinnett County exceeded 1 million people in just our county. From what I understand, we've had 9% growth since that point. It's shocking to see how much growth has taken place. I mean, I've only been here for 5 years, and I've watched the place change. You spent your whole life here and have really seen it change.
Yes, I remember when Gwinnett Place Mall first opened. I was 7th or 8th grade. And then I remember when Mall of Georgia opened, Discover Mill. So all those big locations that are huge infrastructure, I was here when they were built. 316 used to end at 120 in Lawrenceville, Georgia. Mm. Now 316 goes all the way to Athens, and I saw that grow.
Wow.
So it's continuing to grow.
Tell us about the changes that took place in policing from the time you started till when you're finishing up to today.
Well, you know, the big thing when I was policing, you know, law enforcement was there. You know, the way that I police, I care for people. I always try to help somebody out. Not necessarily always looking to put someone back a police car, go to jail. I would go into neighborhoods. I would talk to kids. I would get out. I would try to get involved with people in the community just so that they seen us not as somebody who comes when there's trouble, but someone they could deal with on a day-to-day basis and try to be an everyday person with them.
Yeah. Do people still have that opportunity? Like young police officers getting into it today, seems like they've got a lot bigger challenge. Like they've got a lot more challenges, it feels like.
Yeah, I think so too. But I think if you go out your way instead of staying in your car all day, and again, strictly my opinion, you get out. You get out of stores. You talk to people. You shake hands. Because if I stay in my car all the time and I don't interact with you, then you don't know me and I don't know you.
Yeah.
So in the area that you work in, if you do what they call community policing, you get out and you talk to people, you spend time with people, and then it goes in a different direction.
Yeah. You know, I've watched you do that here where you already knew the community because your daughter graduated from here what year?
2012.
12. You know, so the community already knew you. You were away after she graduated, then you came back in. But, I mean, I've just watched you win the whole community over with just relationship. You know that you've got a high IQ, but your EQ must be off the chain. Just how you relate to people relationally and interpersonally. And I could see that. Like, if you, even in today's pressures, if you really focus on the relationships, that's going to still win the battle, you know.
And that's correct. And you always got to focus on a relationship. I always say this, you have 2 ears and 1 mouth. So you listen more, twice as more than you talk.
That's right.
And you learn.
Yeah.
What may not matter to you may matter a lot to someone else.
Right.
So you be careful, choose your words carefully when there's tense situations, because everybody don't think like you. Everybody doesn't feel the same way with you. We can agree to disagree and still respect each other and move on. And I think that's what our world lacks today.
Mm-hmm. When we think about that, how do you incorporate Walk me through a little bit with your faith story. When does faith begin to play an important part in your life?
I think faith is always an important part of your life. You know, if your faith in, I think it's John chapter 5, verse 15, is something along the lines of, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, I remain in you. And because we can produce much fruit. Mm-hmm. And without God, you can't do anything. So if you take that mindset, it always be a part of that and always be offering, then I think you're more accepted and you're accepted more than you would be if you didn't.
Yeah. I know where you're going to church. How does faith play out nowadays for you?
You know, believe it or not, continue to grow. I in a small group with several men from the church, and we talk. We have some of the similar problems and ideas and thoughts. So we talk the word of God with each other and try to live that same way on a day-to-day basis, try to walk the way that Jesus will want us to walk.
Yeah, you're going to a brand-new campus. Your church has started a brand-new campus. Pretty beautiful.
Yeah, so North Metro is growing. Each Sunday, there's more and more people. Pastor Cox is doing a great job with his staff, and he has two services now, and he may have a third one soon. I don't know.
My wife and I were out there this summer visiting you guys and got to sit with you and your bride. But it shocked me as I was chatting with them afterwards. They said that they have like 200 to 300 visitors a week. I mean, that's unheard of. Yes. I mean, it's 200 to 300 visitors a week at that new location.
Well, that church sits there. You know, you have Gwinnett County, Barrow County, Jackson County, and Hall County.
Yeah.
So you have the opportunity to pull from four different counties.
Yeah. Is that church in your district?
Yes,
it is. It is. It really is, yes. In your district?
Yes, it is.
Oh, so they got a power player sitting in the pews.
I don't know if you call it that.
Hey, let's talk about public life, because that's one of the things that I've always really appreciated about you, is that I think sometimes people just don't understand when you live in a public life, you end up giving some things up. Like you don't get to have as big an opinion out loud. And, you know, you've done that exceptionally well. Like I've just watching you even before you ran for office, watching you here running our security, I've just been so impressed that you've understood that you have a public life. As a police officer, you have a public life. Certainly as a politician, you have a public life. When did that come to you? Like when did you start to recognize that? Was that taught by mom or grandma, or that's just part of life?
Well, my parents always taught us to treat people like you want to be treated. Never disrespect anybody, no matter where your opinion was different or they were different from you. So you respect everybody else. Mm-hmm. You write in at the end of your nose, and you don't bother anybody. And I think that's how I've tried to live. Mm-hmm. You know,
always teenager Tim, same way.
Always.
Really? No kidding. Okay.
Always. Yes.
Okay. So just that sense of respect, something that was deeply ingrained in you as a kid, and that's always remained consistent.
That's correct.
That's pretty cool. Well, you got into the right field then. I mean, that's pretty awesome. Yes. So what's next for you guys? I mean, we're not spring chickens anymore. What's the plans for the future?
I don't know. My wife cares for her mom right now. She's in memory care. So that takes up a lot of our time. So, you know, being here, luckily, I have a time off in the summertime. So if we decide to do something, we have the days and ability to do that. So we just day by day.
Yeah. You're going to keep running for office? You're enjoying that side?
Enjoying sometimes, no. But yeah, I think the election is primaries coming up next April. I will run for office again and see what happens.
That's good.
If fortunate enough the voters put me back there, I'll run for four more years. I'll have four more years, and then I'll decide from there.
And I've told you this when we're off air, but you know, I'm firmly in the camp of Tim Walker for at least Senate. You know, I mean, we're all for that. I mean, just we need good guys. We need good guys who actually stand for things that are right and are bold enough to do so. But to do so, with kindness. You know, it feels like sometimes there's just more frustrations and debates than there really needs to be. You know.
Yeah, I think what I've learned is that if you take your ego out and you take out wanting, I want my legacy to be this, mm-hmm. then you can do things right, because you're not worried about a legacy. You're not worried about how you look. If you leave those things out and do what's right, a legacy may follow. It may not. But why worry about a legacy as long as you're doing what's right?
So that's definitely a theme we've heard throughout the show here. If you were to talk about kind of the biggest leadership lessons that you'd be passing on to young people, a big part of our audience is kind of the school that we're a part of. What would be the biggest leadership lessons you'd pass on to this next generation?
Well, I would say always put God first, and then always treat people with dignity and respect. Mm. And that will take you to the places you need to go.
Yeah. What about kids who get scared of like the next step? So many times I think kids miss, like you, it seems like you've taken every opportunity that's come your way. You've done so courageously. I firmly believe that God's only just started with you, in regard to kind of some of the political opportunities you're going to have. What makes you say yes to those things? Like, what's the advice you'd give to kids to jump in on those opportunities?
Always take the opportunity to help someone else.
Okay.
And that's the biggest thing I would say.
Okay.
If you can help someone else, you never know. By saying hello to someone, by having a conversation with someone, you could change your life. You never know. It's not things that you're asking to do or looking to do. It's just if you always put other people first, then I think good things will follow.
That's awesome. Tim, listen, it's a privilege to serve with you here. Really and truly is. And I really appreciate you jumping on the show today as well.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Joy of Leadership podcast. Living in the center of God's will is a rare blessing in today's day and age. Help us share this vital story of passionate leadership. If you would like to comment on the show, or if you know someone who would be a perfect guest, contact us at thejoyofleadership@gmail.com. If you like the show and don't want to miss a single episode, make sure you subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.